As we turn to God's Word, let us take a moment for a prayer of illumination. Let us pray. O Lord, if we could buy our way closer to You, we'd sell everything we have. If we could work our way to You, we'd never take a day off. If we could walk our way to You, we'd keep our tennis shoes on tight. But I know, we know, we cannot buy or work or walk our way closer to You. We must listen our way closer to You. So, Holy God, as You have so often done again and again, open our ears. Clear out the self-talk that keeps us from You. Dust out the negativity and distractions. Remove any doubt hindering our way. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is from Mark, the 11th chapter, the first 11 verses. Let us listen for God's Word. When Jesus and His followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus gave two disciples a task, saying to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say to them, 'It's my master needs it, and he will bring it back right away.'" They went out and found a colt tied to a gate outside on the street. And they untied it. Some people standing around them said, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them just what Jesus had said, and they left them alone. They brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their clothes upon it, and He sat on it. Many people spread out their clothes on the road, while others spread branches cut from the field. Those in front of Him and those following were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. After He looked around at everything, because it was already late in the evening, He returned to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I couldn't believe it. Last Wednesday evening on the Jeopardy show, one of the categories listed was, "I Love a Parade," which is the title I had selected for the sermon today several weeks ago. As this was Palm Sunday, and in the past there have been a number of parades in the church on this Sunday, I thought of three parades that have happened in the past. One of them may be very familiar to us, but not to everyone. The other two may have significance, but were not in our immediate memory. The first was a beautiful, bright, sunny November day. The motorized parade was fairly localized, but became known all over the world. I could ask you where you were on Friday, November 22nd, 1963. And many of you could say exactly where you were. I know I was working for the power company, and I was working out of the Charleston office, and I was out in my territory calling on builders. I had the Sissonville area, which is kind of rural, and thus not much in the way of communications. And our company cars back in those days had no radios, so it was only after I came back to the office that I found out about the tragedy that occurred in Dallas that day. The people who had gone to see President Kennedy as he passed their way into town were waving American flags in tribute to both he, President Kennedy, and the entourage that was with him. When Lee Harvey Oswald fired those shots from the Texas Book Conservatory, he shattered the joy of that parade. He also sent shockwaves into the world. He caused the world to go into mourning. What had started out as such a wonderful day turned into one of the greatest tragedies in my lifetime. One of the other parades occurred was in April 1912. It happened in Southampton, England. The White Star Line, owned by Samuel Cunard, was celebrating the newest and most glamorous of ocean liners, the Titanic. The world was celebrating with them as some of the richest people in the world sought to be the first to make the voyage across the Atlantic. Bands played as the people boarded the expensive and luxurious and supposedly unsinkable ship. Several days later, we all know the tragedy which befell the great ship. None of us were around for the event, but with the movie in the recent past, we have all heard of the sinking of the Titanic, with some two-thirds of the people on board drowning. What started out as a joyous and happy occasion turned into one of the greatest tragedies of my father's lifetime. Now we come to the third parade. That parade many churches perform, but cautiously today due to the pandemic, with palms waving, hymns of praise and exultation being sung as a reenactment of that parade. That parade was focused on the person who was thought to be the one who would reestablish the nation of Israel into all of its glory. The crowd had seen or at least heard the stories of the miracles of this Jesus, and had great expectations about what he would do. He would no doubt drive out those detested foreigners, those Romans who had put puppet Jews into places of authority, but who continued to strangle the populace with overwhelming taxes, continued to enslave the Israelite people with their well-equipped soldiers, and took away their sense of peace and security. This Jesus was hailed by the people as being the one who would set them free. They quoted the Psalms and the prophets as they cheered the simple carpenter's son from Nazareth. The Bible doesn't say specifically, but there were probably even some Pharisees in that crowd. There was great excitement and joy as these people looked forward to this new kingdom. We all know what was to follow. Within the week, Jesus was to be rejected by people in Jerusalem. This is one of the neat things about Mark's narrative. That last verse of our reading today may have said it all. At the end of the parade, Jesus went into Jerusalem He looked around and left. Simply that. He left. I'm sure the entire cheering crowd was expecting speeches, miraculous events which would put them back in charge of their land. Something. Anything. But got nothing. It may have been that silence that began the rejection by the populace. Then that rejection was turned into tragedy. But wait, was that really tragedy? From the perspective of hindsight, we can see that it was not tragedy. It was triumph. In this roller coaster of events 2,000 years ago, we today can look back and see how this Jesus really did bring freedom, peace, and security, and eternal life. The parade was prophesied in Zechariah 9, which says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations." This parade had to happen to show the Prince of Peace riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, the symbol of peace. Not on a great white steed of the conquering hero king. As Jesus was to take on himself our sin, he overcame the power of Satan. Jesus interjected himself as the paschal lamb, which was sacrificed to God each year at Passover for the sin of the Hebrew people. But Jesus became the paschal lamb, not only for the Hebrews, but for all people. And not for just for one year, but for all time. And providing that redemption for the entire world was precisely God's plan from the beginning of time. So I've described three parades. All had great expectations. All had significant tragedies. All influenced the world. The first two I mentioned impacted the world at the time that they happened. The last parade mentioned led to an impact that would last forever. In fact, all of our recorded time is based on that person. The impact is that God the Father has been revealed to all and is available to the entire world. The impact is that all mankind can now receive forgiveness for its waywardness. Friends, this is the last week in Lent. And therefore, we have the opportunity to make a decision about our participation in being the crowd at a parade. The question is, are you going to be like the crowds who cheered Jesus going into Jerusalem? Or are you going to be like the crowd who turned and rejected him? Or are you the crowd who is preparing to join in with another crowd to celebrate the coming kingdom of this Jesus that means redemption and peace. As we approach this Holy Week, what will be your decision? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we consider this last week of your earthly life, we do give you thanks and praise for all that you went through just for us. We are in awe of your love for us. Lord, with this we pray in your name. Amen.